Would you turn with me, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 7? Deuteronomy chapter 7. I'm just going to read a couple of verses from Deuteronomy 7, and then we'll look at some other verses as well. But let's just Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 through 9. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this evening. Let's just ask the Lord for his help. Father, we just thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for thy grace, for thy love. Father, we thank thee for all that you've done for us. And we just pray that as we open your word, that you would speak to our hearts, challenge us. Help us, Father, fill us with your Spirit. Help us to communicate clearly. Speak to hearts this evening and draw people to yourself. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. About a month ago, I was thinking about the word faithful. And I looked up my dictionary just to get some idea of the meaning. We kind of have an idea sometimes. Sometimes we think we know the meanings of something, and it's good to just to stop sometimes, just look up the dictionary. And so I looked it up just to get some definitions or some examples maybe of what the word faithful means. And one of the first definitions or meaning of the word faithful was loyal or steadfast. Like a rock, it's sure, it's unfailing, it's unwavering, it's always there. Another meaning or definition was reliable, like a compass. I remember whenever we were in our missionary training in America, we were living, a part of our training was to live in a plastic house for 6 weeks in the forest, and we had to go and build this little plastic hut. And spend 6 weeks with her family there. But we were there, and one morning, the leaders came, and they gave us a compass and a map, and they told us that there was a tent that had been pitched on the far side of the forest, and we had to find the tent using this compass and this map. And we were thankful that this compass was reliable. It was faithful. Another meaning of faithful is true to the facts, true to the original. And we were on a flight recently in America to America, and they had these little TV screens on there, so I opened it up and to see what was on, and there was a movie that they were showing called Exodus, and I thought, well, I'll have a look at this and see, but I'm sure it's not up to much. But I switched it on, watched it for a few minutes, and I realized pretty quickly it wasn't very faithful. It wasn't true to the fact. It wasn't true to the original. Another meaning of the word faithful is predictable. We know what's expected from something. It can be counted on. In Yellowstone National Park in America, there's a geyser there that spurts up hot water and steam every 60 to 90 minutes. And you can be sure, if you go to that particular place, you can be sure that within that hour and a half, you're going to see this geyser spurting this hot water into the air. And the geyser is called Old Faithful because it is predictable. So when you think of these things, you think of the word steadfast and reliable and true to the facts and predictable. All of these things express who God is. He's all of those things. And he is steadfast like a rock. He's reliable like a compass. He's true to the facts. He's true to his word. And he's predictable. What he says, he always does. What he promises, he always gives. We can count entirely upon God and his word. And as we look at the faithfulness of God is a tremendous encouragement to us. As we look at God's word, we see many, many examples of how he is faithful to his people. In fact, he's faithful to everyone. His faithfulness is shown all through Scripture. There are 13 specific verses in the Bible that talk about the faithfulness of God, about God being faithful. This one in Deuteronomy is one of those verses where it mentions the faithfulness of God. I think one of the most popular verses of Scripture that talks about the faithfulness of God is Lamentations 3:23, has the phrase, "Great is thy faithfulness." And one of my favorites is Hebrews 10:23. It says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." And as we go through Scripture, we can see that God is faithful. We can depend on him. We know that we can trust him. We know that he has our good at heart every time something comes into our lives. So God is faithful. We also see that God's word is faithful. There are four specific verses in Scripture that talk about God's word being faithful. In Psalm 119, verse 86, it says, "All thy commandments are faithful." In Psalm 119, 138, it says, "Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful." Revelation 21, verse 5 says, and he said, the Lord Jesus was speaking to John, and he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." Revelation 22, verse 6, it says, "And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true." So we see that God is faithful. We see that God's word is faithful. And God wants us to be faithful to him. He set the example for us. He's given us an idea of what faithfulness is. And he wants us to be faithful. 1 Samuel 2:35. There's a verse there, and it talks about God seeking and raising up servants who shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind. God is raising up faithful men and women to serve him and to trust him and be faithful like he has been faithful to us. Abraham and Moses and Hanani, who was Nehemiah's brother, and Uriah, Zechariah, Daniel, these men were all called faithful. You look at the New Testament, when Paul and Peter wrote their epistles, we see numerous examples of when they called various people faithful. Timothy was called faithful in the Lord. Tychicus and Epaphras were faithful ministers of Christ. Onesimus and Silvanus were faithful brothers. The Lord Jesus in Revelation talks about Antipas, my faithful martyr. So we see that there are faithful men that God has raised up. We see in Scripture, in the early church fathers, we see the persecution that they went through, but God raised up faithful men and women to serve him. And you look down through church history, and you see right up to the present day when God has raised up faithful men and women to serve him. And we were in Prague about 10 years ago when we went to visit some folks there in a Bible school, and they brought us down into the center of Prague to the cathedral, and there's a huge square, Wenceslas Square, and there's a huge monument right in the center, and it has a huge statue of a fellow called John Huss, a man called John Huss, who stood for the Word of God and for the fact that Christ is the only Savior, and he was persecuted by the church, and he was executed by the church, and he was condemned in that huge cathedral. And there are stones outside the cathedral showing that the date whenever he was excommunicated from the church, and then he was burnt at the stake. And that was 100 years before the Reformation ever took place. So God has been raising up faithful men and women down through the centuries. And it's been a thrill for us to be part of what God is doing in Ivory Coast. He's raising up in a little people group, a little tribe, a little isolated people group. He's raising up men and women who are being faithful to him and to the cause of Christ. And it's been a privilege for us to see what God is doing and how he has been faithful in raising up people there. So God's faithful. God's word is faithful, and God wants us to be faithful. But this evening, just for the short time that we've left, we're going to look at some examples of how God is faithful, in the ways that God has been faithful to us. And if we're down, if we're discouraged, if we're disheartened, we can look to the faithfulness of God, and we can draw comfort and encouragement from what God has shown us in his word as to his faithfulness. So we're going to read a few verses here. You can look them up if you wish. I'm going to read some verses. But the first one is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. And we're going to see that God is faithful to call. God is faithful to call. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful. And if you're saved tonight, it's because God has been faithful to call you. And it says here that we have been called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're called into fellowship with the Lord Jesus. He has saved us. We are part of his body, and he's present with us, and we can come to him anytime we wish, and he's there, and we're part of the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're also part of the fellowship of other people who are in the body of Christ, other Christians who are of like mind as we are, who have trusted Christ alone for salvation, and we have been called together into this fellowship, the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're called into this fellowship for eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a fellowship that isn't going to be broken. Once we're part of the body of Christ, once God has saved us, placed us into the body of Christ, we can no longer be lost, and we're part of this fellowship today and into eternity. And if God had not been faithful to call us, we wouldn't be saved in the first instance. If he hadn't been faithful to call us, we wouldn't have fellowship with the Lord Jesus. We wouldn't have fellowship with other believers, and we wouldn't have the confidence that we'll spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. So God has been faithful to call. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Another way that God is faithful, he's faithful to keep his promises. He keeps his promises. And that verse in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, it says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." God is true to his word. He's faithful to keep his covenant, his promises. God keeps his promises. What he says, he always does. And those particular verses are written to the Israelites. And the verses just preceding that show us that without God, the Israelites were nothing. They had no strength in and of themselves, and they were just nothing without God. I was on Facebook recently, and someone put a poster up on Facebook, and it said, "Without Christ, we are nothing." And that's so true. Without Christ, we are nothing. We are nothing in and of ourselves. But God is faithful to keep his promises. And there are many ways that he keeps his promises. And we'll just look at a couple here, just to get it into our minds how God keeps his promises. He has promised to save us if we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:16, everybody knows John 3:16, and it's so simple, and yet we overlook it, but it's so profound that God has promised to save those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we trust in the Lord Jesus for salvation, he has promised to save us. Another way God has promised, another thing that God has promised us peace. He has promised peace to those who trust in him. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, it talks about the peace of God. In Romans chapter 5, it talks about having peace with God. And God promises peace to those who trust in him. I remember when I was first saved, I was 17 years old. I'd come through the car accident that I mentioned. And I remember being in turmoil. My mind was sort of all over the place. And I remember when I trusted Christ in February 17th, that the peace of God that passeth understanding, it's amazing. It's just something I'd never experienced before. And God gives us a peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we also have the peace of God. He's promised to give us peace. And so this is one of the promises, one of the ways that he is faithful. Another way that he's faithful, he promises to meet the needs of his saints. He takes care of us. He looks after us. And Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it says, God shall supply all your need. And we went to the mission field January 1986. And the Lord has taken care of every need that we have had. As we went through our training, we went through Bible school in England. We went to America for 2.5 years, and we had sold our home, and we thought we had plenty of money, and halfway through our missionary training, the money ran out. Our hoarded resources were exhausted. And that's when God proved himself to be faithful. And he raised up people to pray for us, to support us through the rest of our training and out to the mission field. And for 30 years on the mission field, the Lord has been faithful to supply all of our needs. Not all of our wants or not all of our greed, but he's provided everything that we have needed. And I'm talking financially and spiritually and physically and emotionally. He's just been there. He's supplied all of our needs. He's been faithful to supply, to meet our needs. And he's promised to supply all of our need, and he does do that. Another thing he's promised to do, he's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. John 14, verse 18 says, I will not leave you comfortless. The Lord never leaves us on our own. He's always there. He's with us. He's beside us. He goes before us, and he's there. He never leaves us. Another way, he's faithful in his promises. He's faithful. He's promised to take care of us. Psalm 121, verse 7 and 8. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. The Lord has promised to take care of us. God is faithful to keep his promises. That verse I mentioned in Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. We can trust him, we can depend on him, we know that we can go forward and do what he wants us to do, because he will be with us and he will supply all of our needs. So that's another way that God is faithful, keeping his promises. The third way he's faithful is he's faithful to deliver. Faithful to deliver. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God is faithful to deliver. Now that doesn't mean that we'll not suffer. It doesn't mean that we'll not go through hard times. Or go through difficult times. We all go through difficult times. And it doesn't mean that God will never give us more than we can handle. We think that God won't push us to our limit. God pushes us to our limit. And we look at Scripture and we see how various men in Scripture were brought right to the edge. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, he says, For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. This is Paul despairing of life. Moses in Numbers 11 said, I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And verse 15 there it says, and if thou deal thus with me, kill me. This is Moses talking. Elijah, we know that he was under the juniper tree and he requested for himself that he might die. Job, in Job 3:3, it says, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived. David, in Psalm 6, verse 3, he said, my soul is also sore vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long sore vexed? This word vexed means to be disturbed or dismayed or terrified or anxious. This is David talking. Psalm 61 verse 2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. David was overwhelmed, and the word overwhelmed means turned upside down, in water, no escape, there's no way out, submerged, shipwrecked. And these men, Moses and Elijah and Job and David, were completely overwhelmed. They were right at the end, right at the edge. And you wonder, why did God allow these things to happen? What is the purpose of God allowing these men to come to this point, and each of us to come to a point where we can't handle things anymore? He wants us to be depending on Him. He wants us to be trusting Him. He wants us to rely on His faithfulness. He wants to overwhelm us with a sense of His strength, not our own strength. And He will never give us more than He can handle. He will take care of us in everything that we have to face. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10 or 12, verse 10, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. God will use us whenever we're broken, whenever we realize that we can do nothing in and of ourselves. But we're tempted. And this verse is talking about temptation, it's talking about sin, it's talking about coming to the point where there's a temptation and God will always provide a way of escape. We think of Joseph. Joseph took the way of escape with Potiphar's wife. Whereas you think of David and you think of Samson, they didn't take the way of escape. God wants us to be trusting Him, realizing that He's faithful and He will provide a way, and He wants us to trust Him for everything that we do. So God is faithful to deliver us if we take His deliverance. Another way He's faithful to perform. God is faithful to perform. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 23 and 24, it says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. God is working in our lives. He wants to change us. He wants to conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's changing us. It says, Romans 8:28, the little phrase there, all things work together. And God uses everything in our lives to change us, to work in our lives, to conform us to His image. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. There's a little verse in Psalm 57, verse 2, that is an amazing verse. It says, I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. All things for me. God is working and bringing things into our lives we don't understand sometimes. We can't comprehend why these things are allowed to happen. But God is using every circumstance in our lives to change us, to conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God wants us to trust Him in Him, that He's performing, that He is faithful to perform, and that He's faithful in calling us, and that He also will complete the job that He started in our lives. Another way He's faithful to intervene, to mediate on our behalf. Hebrews 2:17, it says, wherefore, in all things it behoved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. The Lord Jesus is made reconciliation for the sins of the people. And He's our faithful high priest. And He's our mediator. He intervenes on our behalf. In Africa, it's a very strong concept, this idea of mediator. Someone stepping in and mediating. We were traveling one time in Abidjan, the economic capital of Ivory Coast, and we had hired a taxi. There were four missionary men. We were traveling, can't even remember where we were going, but we had our bags of stuff that we were traveling with, and we had a little sack of clothes and stuff. And we talked to the taxi driver, we agreed a price, we put our stuff into the boot of the car, and we took off. But whenever we arrived at the destination, The taxi driver doubled the fare and he wouldn't open the boot until we paid him double the price we had agreed. Well, here we were, four missionaries standing on the side of the road arguing with this taxi driver. I mean, it was getting pretty hot. And this other African guy was just walking by and he came over and he said, "Okay, what's the problem here?" And it's very natural for an African to do that when there's a fight or something, someone intervening. So we came along and he heard our side of the story, he heard the taxi driver's side of the story, and he resolved the issue for us. And we have a mediator. We have someone there who is intervening on our behalf all of the time. Not just a one-off thing, not like the high priest in the Old Testament who went into the Holy of Holies one time a year. The Lord Jesus is our great high priest, but he's even greater than the high priest because he's there all of the time intervening on our behalf. 1 John 2, verse 1 and 2, John writes to the believers, and he said, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world." The Lord Jesus is our mediator. He intervenes on our behalf. He's there all of the time interceding with the Father on our behalf. So let's be encouraged. Let's take heart that the Lord Jesus is there on our side intervening, because God is faithful to mediate, to intervene on our behalf. Another way that God is faithful, he's faithful to forgive. The same book, John, 1 John, it says in 1 John 1, 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And this is a verse that we use a lot whenever we're talking to maybe people who are not saved, and we tell them, look, God will forgive your sin if you trust in Christ. And that's true. If we trust in Christ, repent and trust in Christ, God will forgive us our sins. But this is written actually to believers, and it says, if we confess our sins, we're saying that we do sin, but God is faithful. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God wants us to keep short accounts with him. He wants us to have a pure heart and clean hands as we serve him. And he wants us to keep short accounts with him and keep a purity about our lives. And if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's praise the Lord for his faithfulness. One last one. There are others that we could look at, but here's one more. God's faithful, and he's faithful to the end. Faithful to the end. We're right back to the beginning. We're right back to Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23. It says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." New every morning. There's no end to the faithfulness of God. God is faithful to the end. He's promised to save us. And if we've trusted in Christ, we can count on the fact that we're saved. He's promised to take care of us and to look after us and be with us and to encourage us. And we can just praise the Lord for his faithfulness. As we look back over almost 30 years of serving the Lord in Ivory Coast, we can thank him for his faithfulness. As I look back over 40 years from 1976 of being a Christian, I can thank the Lord for his faithfulness in my life to show me what I need to know and we need to see, and to show me that he loves me through his faithfulness. So let's thank him for his faithfulness. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. He's faithful to call. He's faithful to keep. He's faithful to deliver, faithful to perform. He's faithful to intervene. He's faithful to forgive, and he's faithful to the end. Let's praise the Lord for his faithfulness and thank him for his love for us. Amen.